Arizona Guy Fieri here from Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives on the Food Network. I hope you'll be listening to On the Menu Live with the Madman, Matt Russell.
Welcome to On the Menu Live,
the most delicious hour on radio and the hottest in culinary and cocktail talk.
And now, broadcasting live from another happy hour on 104.1 KQTH,
here's your host, Matt Russell.
Hey, fellow foodies, my heartfelt congratulations for making it halfway through another delicious weekend. And I tell you what, if you are a fan of smoke, if you are a fan of wood, if you are a fan of things that happen when smoke and wood play together, especially when we're talking beef and pork and chicken, this entire show is dedicated to the righteousness of barbecue. And when you're thinking barbecue in Southern Arizona, you're thinking about Brush Fire Barbecue.
Whoa, baby!
North Campbell Avenue, just a little bit south of Glen. The red carpet has been rolled out for us. We are drinking $3 draft beers. And that's not just the On the Menu Live special today. That is $3 draft beers all summer long. We got a rib sampler platter in the house. A little of each. Everything that Jared Wren knows best. We've got great St. Louis style ribs. We got great baby back ribs. We got big and beefy beef ribs. Sampler platters are on special. So come on out and join the party at Brush Fire Barbecue now. When there is a barbecue and a party in the same sentence, that means that our celebrity co-host can be only one guy, and he's so busy. We had to schedule this show like 6 months ago, and here he is in all of his majesty, the Z-Man himself.
Hey.
From Rationale, Chef Alan Z-Man is in the house.
I heard it was five, so it's On the Menu Live.
Man, it is so, I mean, getting you on this show is like, this is one of my favorite shows of the year, because we get to dedicate the entire broadcast to the righteousness of ribs. You and I, 3 weeks from today, are going to be heading out on a pilgrimage for pork to Sparks, Nevada for the 29th annual Nugget Rib Cook-Off, the biggest and baddest barbecue competition in all of the West. Are you ready, Alan Z-Man?
I'm ready. It's the Masters, the granddaddy of all rib cook-offs. And I understand the guys here from Brush Fire are going to try to qualify for the competition today, right? So I'm looking forward to that. And I even get to taste the ribs, right? I don't have to wait.
Yeah, that's right, because as all of our listeners know, you're the head judge at this epic event. You've been judging now for, I don't know, 10, 12
years?
I know,
16, I think.
16 years.
I lost track.
And I've been judging only for about 7 or 8, but I get the easy job because I get to taste the ribs. You as head judge, you're not even allowed to taste unless there's a tie.
Unless there's a tie, so I'm always rooting for a tie. Until, of course, the competition is over. Then I get the taste.
That's right. Well, I love the fact that we have chosen to prepare our palates for pork right here at Brush Fire Barbecue. They are celebrating their 10th anniversary, and I got to tell
you
what.
That's awesome.
Ben Ryan, Jared Wren, Bill Harmon, the entire team. It is a major milestone to open up a restaurant and say, hey, we're still here a decade later.
That's true. I made it 11. So good luck on that, Ben.
So we're going to be talking with Randy Kennedy here in a few minutes from the Nugget Casino Resort up in Sparks, Nevada, with all the information on this year's event. But get us caught up. It's been a long time since you've been on the show. You got some food, some drinking, some golfing, some concert going. I mean, you're like a renaissance man.
Yeah, I've been all over the place. I was in Houston this week, and I don't even want to talk about that. 106 degrees and 95% humidity. But no, we went this summer, my lovely wife and I, Mickey, we went to see U2 for our 35th wedding anniversary.
Oh, crazy.
So that was great. Then while we were there, I figured you got to go see Hamilton, right? Not going to miss my shot. You know what I mean? So we went to see the Hamilton performance. That was awesome. Then Father's Day weekend, we spent time with my son, and we went to the U.S. Open in Erin Hills in Wisconsin. And I tell you what, did a lot of walking around. I felt like a goat or a sheep or something there because all I did was walk, and I didn't really see very much golf. But we actually just had an awesome time.
I love it.
And now primed and ready to go. Not to the rib cook-off, but to the Cub game tomorrow, man.
You're going to go.
World champions, baby. There they are.
Oh, there he goes. You know, he had to do it.
So going up to the Cub game there at Diamondbacks Park. And then, of course, the Nugget Rib Cook-Off, the granddaddy of them all.
The granddaddy of them all. Now, you'll be able to hang out with your son at the game tomorrow.
Yep.
He's a proud alum of the University of Arizona.
He is, yeah.
And we were just talking before the show started. My daughter, I actually drove her and moved her into the dorm. She is starting as a freshman this year at the U of A. Good for her. If she wants great barbecue, she's not too far from Brush Fire right down there in the dorm.
That's true. That's true. Now, did they let you in the dorm, Matt?
Or? Well, you know, there's pictures of me all over campus.
How does it work now, you know? Is it all co-ed? red or what?
Yeah,
everybody's just matriculating all over the place.
I mean, I'm up on the sixth floor of a dorm. I'm not going to give it all away, but there's like guys walking around. I'm like, you know, back in our day, there were guys and girls dorms,
right?
But there were guys and girls floors. Now it's like just a mix and match. It's like a melting pot, if you will, of gender. It's like, wait a minute, I don't know as a father that I'm ready for that.
Now stay away from the politics, man. Come on.
Anyway, what kind of advice would you give to any of our listeners? We always love running into Southern Arizonans at this Rib Fest up in Sparks, Nevada. Always seeing our friends and neighbors. What advice would you give to someone considering making the trip up to Sparks on Labor Day weekend for this event?
Well, they probably should have already made their reservations.
That's a good point.
But if you get up there, I mean, it's really a street event. So it's free admission. You get in on the street and go down the street, and all the rib cookers, I think there's 24 or 25.
Yeah.
And they do a sampler, rib sampler. That's the best way to go, because then you get it hot off the grill, because these guys, they got to produce over 5,000 pounds of ribs on the street every day.
Each cooker.
So that's a challenge.
Each cooker.
You can't say, I got a really good rib, and get out there with your hibachi, you know, and try to keep up.
I mean, for some of our listeners that might not know about this event, over a five-day period, of course, Labor Day weekend is a five-day celebration in Sparks,
Nevada.
Actually, no. Or is it six?
It's six.
It starts
days.
On Wednesday all the way through Monday.
Matt's usually passed out on the last day.
But this is 500,000 people.
That or will, more.
That will collectively consume 275,000 pounds of ribs.
Yeah. And that's what's amazing about it, that the volume is tremendous. So these rib cookers are running for that really 6 days of being open, but 7 days solid of setup and trying to just to keep up with the demand, because it's unbelievable how many people there are and how many ribs there are flying around.
Yeah. And in addition, and we'll talk to Randy about this in a minute, but in addition to the, you know, the entertainment and the food and the beverage, the great craft brewery right there on the end of kind of Victoria Square where this event is, there's actually a world-class rib eating competition where our friend Joey Chestnut is expected to come and defend his belt. How many pounds of ribs did he put down last year at this event?
Last year, 9.6 pounds. And that's boneless.
Boneless, yeah.
So they weigh them before. Then when they're done eating, they weigh the bones. And then you do the math, and somehow they came up with 9.6 pounds. I am not eating 9.6 pounds.
He's got his work cut out for him.
And the first year he won it, what was amazing, yeah. It was 4.8 or 4 and change. So he's all doubled. Double the consumption.
Man,
I know how they do that.
We're going to have a blast. As I said, it is my most favorite weekend of the year. You and I have some work to do. But anyway, we're going to take a quick commercial break right now and thank a couple of sponsors. When we come back, we're going to be talking to Randy Kennedy himself from the Nugget Casino and Resort, talking about the 29th annual Nugget Rib Cook-Off. And where are we preparing our palates for excellence here from the Brushfire Barbecue Company. Stick around, fellow foodies. We'll be right back.
Hey there, fellow foodies, Matt Russell here, and I say that nothing makes a culinary and cocktail experience more legendary than a premium cigar. And Jerry's Cigars has everything for the Tucson cigar enthusiast. With more than 70,000 cigars in stock, Jerry's has a cigar for every taste and size, including rare and hard-to-find cigars, alongside an impressive showcase of lighters and cutters, humidors, and other accessories. Swing by Jerry's for some sticks to go, or fire one up in the climate-controlled comfort of Jerry's Cigar Lounge. Jerry's Cigars, the official tobacconist of On the Menu Live. Come see him today at 4433 North 1st Avenue, just north of Wetmore Road, or give them a call at 887-7778. That's 887-7778. Rise and shine, fellow foodies. It's time to wake up and start your day the right way. With a craft cocktail, of course. Wait, what? Yes, our friends at the Gourmet Girls Bakery and Bistro in Northwest Tucson are giving all of us a great reason to get out of bed in the morning with their Wake Up Happy Hour, Monday through Thursday from 7 to 10 a.m. Get happy with some small breakfast dishes and cocktails for only $6 each, like their sweet potato fries topped with an egg and homemade sausage gravy paired with the girls' award-winning 24-carat margarita. Oh, yeah, that's the one made with the real organic carrot juice. Talk about a hefty helping of happy. Choose from a range of dishes and signature cocktails and have fun making the most out of your morning hours at Gourmet Girls Bakery and Bistro, voted best place to eat gluten-free on North Oracle Road just south of Rudisill.
Hey, all you barbecue pitmasters out there in Arizona. This is Ray Lampe, Dr. Barbecue, and you're listening to On the Menu Live with my pal Matt Russell. It's the most delicious hour on radio.
And welcome back to On the Menu Live. This is Matt Russell broadcasting deep in the heart of another great, delicious experience here at Brushfire Barbecue Company on the North Campbell Avenue, just a little bit south of Glen, having a great time with our $3 craft draft brews, not only today, all summer long, and of course, not just today, but all summer long, our celebrity co-host, Mr. Alan Zeman, is back with us.
I'm here, man. I'm here. I think we go to the Gourmet Girls and have a cocktail.
At 7 o'clock Monday morning. Now we're talking. Anyway, speaking of talking, why don't you take over for a bit? Because one of our favorite people in the galaxy is on the other line. Why don't you introduce our next guest?
Oh, is this the great?
is the great.
He's the great one. I think he's been at more Nugget Rib Cook-Offs than I have. The one and only. The guy calling the shots, making sure it all goes correctly, Randy Kennedy. Welcome to the program.
Randy!
Thanks, guys. Hey, another great year. Looking forward to it.
Well, I'll tell you what, we are preparing our palates for some serious pork. We're doing it in an outrageous way, getting ready for this epic barbecue battle happening again Labor Day weekend up at the Nugget Casino Resort up in Sparks, Nevada. So for any of our listeners, Randy Kennedy, that have never been to this event and are making plans now, how do you even begin to describe what is waiting for them in just 3 weeks?
Okay, let me start with, 1 year ago, it was named the best barbecue festival in the country in the USA Today Readers Poll. So
wow.
Let's start there. That's a pretty good
pretty
good accolade for the event. That tells you it's 6 days of 22 of the best barbecue chefs and cookers in the United States. It's just an amazing festival. It's a great food festival. There's so much other great food on the street. The free nightly entertainment is kind of unbelievable, too. Don't have to pay for any of it as far as the entertainment goes. And you can get the great ribs from all of the rib cookers.
And so for years we've been saying this is an event that attracts 500,000 people who will collectively consume about 275,000 pounds of ribs. We've been saying that for years. I mean, are we going to be seeing 600,000 people when we come up to Sparks this Labor Day weekend, Randy?
It's been several years since we've had it officially counted, Matt, but really we know that it's several hundred thousand. And
I thought you just stood there with a clicker when they all come in. No?
That would take way too long. Yeah, and the thing is, as you guys know, the streets are open, so it's a little hard to control all of the entrances to the event. It's open out on the street. There's no entry fee. You can just go walk around, see the sights. There's a kids area. I mean, you know how it is. There's just so much to see and do, and it's the best barbecue in the country all in one place on Labor Day weekend.
It's really like a whole street fair going on in addition to the rib cook-off and all the rib cookers, right?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a build-your-own potato bar. There's, we've got these great beer garden. It's really amazing, all of the stuff that's out there. If ribs aren't your thing, come anyway, because there's such great food.
You can rest assured that if someone says that ribs ain't their thing, they're not listening to this show. I can guarantee it. Now you mentioned 22 cookers are coming up there for competition. How do you decide who gets invited? Because this is an invitational event, and you have to be invited to compete. How do you go through that tough decision-making process to identify who's going to be able to go up and battle?
Well, really, all of our cookers this year are returning from last year. It's a really kind of a coveted thing to have a place in this. It's been called the Super Bowl of Barbecue or Super Bowl of Rib contest, and it really is. You have to have, first and foremost, the ability to cook high volume because, as you mentioned, you know, when you're serving up over 200,000 pounds of ribs between all of the cookers, you got to be able to handle, you know, at a minimum 10,000 people coming through your booth over the 6 days. So that's first and foremost. And you have to be good. You have to have a reputation. All these guys are on the barbecue circuit throughout the year. most of them have either catering businesses or other restaurants, so they're constantly honing their skills, and it's darn competitive, I'll tell you.
And it really represents all of the United States, right? I know Rasta Joe's finally pulled it out last
year.
Sure
did.
But you look at the top, yeah, you look at the top three, the top five. Bone Daddy's always up there. Famous Dave's is always up there. I think we had Texas 40 just a few years ago.
Right. Yeah, they're several of them again have been coming for years. Rasta Joe's has been coming for several years, almost since the inception of the event. And has finished in, you know, he's finished in the top five so many times. He just never got the big award, and last year finally broke through and was just thrilled to pieces.
And, you know, one of the things I love about that is, you know, Rasta Joe's, I think they're from Indiana. Bone Daddy's, I think they're from Michigan. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're getting people coming out with their queue, and they're going up against the best, and they're winning, and they're not really from iconic barbecue regions in the country, right?
Pittsburgh is represented, what, the Awesome Aussie?
Yeah.
Texas,
awesome
Montana?
Pittsburgh, yeah. Yeah, Montana Q did, they finished in the top five last year. It's representative of the entire nation of barbecue. Texas always comes to mind as iconic. We certainly have our entry from Texas. We've got one from Arizona, the barbecue company. So
yep, those guys really are great. Yep, up in Phoenix. And again, we talked about entertainment. We got Night Ranger. We got Flock of Seagulls. We have who are some of the other bands that are playing?
Gin Blossoms.
The Gin Blossoms are playing.
You know, the one I'm looking forward to is the very first night, the Romantics. Love
the Romantics.
What I like about you, you know. So, I mean, and that's the thing about, you mentioned the entertainment. It's all free. You can go get, you know, right there in front of the stage and see these really iconic names. You don't have to pay a nickel to do that.
There's going to be a mosh pit for the Romantics, isn't there?
with lots of sauce. Anyway, we're talking to Randy Kennedy from the Nugget Casino and Resort up in Sparks, Nevada. Randy, we have just about 15 seconds left. Make sure that all of our listeners know exactly where they can find more information about this event that'll give them everything they need to know to make their plans for this pork pilgrimage in 3 weeks.
Perfect. Perfect pork pilgrimage. It is nuggetribcookoff.com. That's where all of the information is available. You can also go to the Nugget Casino Resort website and click through to the nuggetribcookoff.com. It's all there for you to check out.
Sounds great. Well, listen, Alan Zeman and Matt Russell are going to be very excited to make our way up there to see you, brother, again once a year. I wish we could do it several times a year, but we understand how much time and energy it takes to put this together. Anyway, Randy Kennedy, thank you so much for being a part of this story, and we're really looking forward to seeing you in here in a few weeks.
We're jazzed, baby.
Always a pleasure. Looking forward.
We're going to take another quick commercial break and thank a couple more of our valued sponsors. And when we come back, they're here. We've got Bill Harmon and Jared Wren hoisting pints of craft brew in this live broadcast from Brush Fire Barbecue. You're listening to on 104.1 KQTH. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Summer is here, fellow foodies, and Chef Victor Padilla has designed a fresh new menu that celebrates the flavors of the season at one of my favorite Foothills eateries, Commoner & Co. This exciting menu is inspired by Victor's own dedication to the kinds of dishes that are visually overwhelming, yet easy and approachable on the palate, like his new sea scallops that have already become a house favorite with roasted cauliflower, root vegetable chips, cauliflower puree, and a citrus Calabrian gremolata. It is a work of art. Or his airline chicken, a playful twist on the famous poultry dish that he slow simmers in butter and bacon fat. I know, right? And to quench your thirst, General Manager Kim Kaiser has curated a brand new cocktail menu that's all about light and bright, like the Starshine Surprise, anchored by a beautiful bourbon, fresh grapefruit and strawberry, and a hard cider reduction. Now that's my kind of summer sipper. The flavors of summer are being served up now at Commoner & Co. on the southeast corner of Sunrise and Kolb. I'll see you there. It's all about fresh, ultra premium, first cold press. And trust me, these distinctions make a world of difference in extra virgin olive oils. And some of my favorite flavors of the world are now on tap at Alfonso Gourmet Olive Oil and Balsamics. Stop in today to learn what the Southern Hemisphere tastes like. From the mild Arbosana from Chile, a delicate oil with notes of green almond and banana, to the Picholine from Australia, a big and pungent oil that delivers loads of spice and pepper on your palate. Sample more than 20 gourmet olive oils in Alfonso's portfolio, along with a delicious lineup of aged balsamic vinegars that will transform your home into an Italian marketplace. And while you're there, discover some great gift ideas for your next party, try out some fun kitchen accessories, and sign up for their series of community cooking classes and other special events throughout the year. Alfonso Gourmet Olive Oil and Balsamics on the southeast corner of River and Campbell and the southeast corner of Oracle and McGee. And don't forget, as Tom and Nancy Alfonso say, taste first and buy when the excitement becomes overwhelming. See what they're pouring today at alfonsooliveoil.com.
How's it going, Tucson? Jeff Morrow here from the Sandwich King on the Food Network. Thanks for listening to On the Menu Live with my buddy Matt Russell.
And welcome back to On the Menu Live. It's Matt Russell and Alan Zeman broadcasting.
Oh, here we go.
From Brushfire Barbecue Company on North Campbell, just a little bit south of Glen. Celebrities keep walking in the door. 2 seconds ago, Mark Whitaker, the food and beverage writer for Tucson Weekly, walked in.
Excellent.
You know, incognito over there, probably having a beer, is our good friend Big Al.
Big Al.
Alan Cave from 9 on your side.
Traffic report.
Yeah.
On the weekend.
With some selfies, you know.
You
anyway.
Know, you invented traffic.
Anyway, it would be a disservice to our listeners if we were not to hoist a glass of beer as we do each and every Saturday at 5 o'clock. And here we are doing it with our very good friends, the co-owner and pitmaster at Brushfire, Jared Wren, and general manager, Bill Harmon. How are you guys doing?
Wonderful, right. Wonderful, man. Thank you. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Well, awesome. I have chosen the Crooked Tooth, the Archmagus Ale, an English-style ale, which is just a beautiful, kind of rich, you know, velvety kind of brews, have notes of little toffee in here as well. Alan, what did you decide to
drink
today? I
have a shock top because whenever Matt says, it's 5, it's time for On the Menu Live, I always get a little shock.
A little shock. You know, this is such a great beer story here because you got a celebration of local beers and you guys are doing $3 drafts all summer long. Whatever gave you that idea, guys? I mean, that's serious business.
It's hot. People like
everybody
beer.
Wants cold beer,
right?
We decided to do the $3 beers once we got 8 more taps and extended our drinking area so you can have alcoholic beverages through our entire restaurant now.
Yeah, this was an inspired move because when you guys first came in 10 years ago, it was less than half of the size of the space that we're in right now. And you looked like you guys are doing some barbecue. You got to have some beers as well. So you have this kind of new space here. So all in all, how many brews do you have on tap?
We have 12 beers on tap right now.
At the Campbell's.
Okay. Wait a minute. And $3, any beer.
Yes.
Any beer on tap. What do you like about Crooked Tooth? You know, we did our show from there several months ago. I love those guys. You know, I love Ben and Lisa and, you know, and Mondo and the lovely Jody. You know, they really represent, I think, a kind of a fun story. But what do you guys like about Crooked Tooth?
You know, I think originally we just liked the people. They came in and started talking to us, and they were local, and we really liked supporting local people. And then their beers are delicious, They're not your average beer.
Right.
You know, they have such different styles and different flavors. I had never had a sour beer before until Junior brought some in. And it was, I had one sip and was like, whoa, wait a second, that was good.
And this is beer.
I need another.
And before I knew it, I was like, man, give me more. I'm going to have to come in and drink some of that. I've never had a sour beer. That's like the perfect summertime drink. It's delicious.
Now, Bill, as the general manager here, I'm sure that you talk to beer purveyors all the time.
All day.
As Jared said, it's really about the people at the beginning of the conversation because when you're thinking about the craftsmanship, the artisan style of crafting suds, it really is people bringing their passion to the art.
Yeah,
right?
They got to show me the story behind it, why it's good, why they brew it. The Archmagus that they brought in from Crooked Tooth, the caramel taffy notes they have in there pairs really well with our sweet barbecue sauces. It goes great. He showed us that it goes well together. We decided to bring them on. Nice local beers. Everybody loves those here in Tucson.
So you bring up a very good point because, you know, we talk about food and wine pairings. We talk about, you know, tequila pairing dinners. We talk about, you know, beer pairing dinners. But beer and barbecue is really a natural relationship. Are there any kind of strategies that you guys have when you're thinking about pairing a particular beer with a particular flavor within the barbecue spectrum? Like, you know, for those ribs that you say that have a sweet profile, those that are big on salt, that are big on spice, are there intentional kinds of pairing suggestions you would have for any kind of flavor on that line?
Well, most barbecues have a lot of sugar in it, sweetness, so any type of ale. Anything with the more malty flavor instead of the hoppy flavor, it's not going to overpower anything. It goes really well together. Everything goes good with barbecue, though. A nice lager. Anything you can drink a bunch of. Stay outside in the heat.
Why do they call it Crooked Tooth? I didn't from Arkansas or Mississippi?
You got to meet the guy. He's got teeth all over the place.
I asked that very question, and it's only an hour show, so you have to go back and listen to the broadcast. It is, but I'm glad you brought that up, Alan, though, because it is an interesting story to how they arrived at what Crooked Tooth means from a personality and from a mantra, because it really does drive everything that they do. What about you, Jared? When you're hoisting a craft beer here from time to time, where does your palate take you? A big hop head like I am?
I am not a hop head, actually. I don't like the IPAs. I'm very much an ale guy.
Have you tried this Archmage's?
Oh, I do. I have. And it is good.
Outrageously good.
And actually, Crooked Tooth has a couple really good IPAs that I was shocked that I was like, well, I like that one. But I do think as far as the barbecue goes, it's sticking with ale, sticking with lagers. If you're eating the beef, you want something a little bit heavier. If you're going with chicken, I'd say something a little bit lighter. Our chicken is a little bit spicier, so I would say, you know, stick with your lagers. But in general, I think a good ale or something darker, Moostrel is really good.
Oh, Moostrel from Montana.
Oh, yeah.
Hank Brown.
That's a great – I'm glad you said that. It sounds like a great barbecue beer.
Right?
I love Cuban. I love Moostrel. I've never done them together.
Oh, delicious.
Our house beer is actually a red from Thunder Canyon. So
it
pairs with everything really well in our restaurant.
We're talking to Bill Harmon. He's the general manager of Brushfire Barbecue, and Jared Wren, the co-owner and the guy who has his time around the pit. That's what he gets to do for a living. Really barbecue geniuses in their own right. But guys, don't go away because we've only just begun. We're going to roll up our sleeves and get a little messy here.
We're going to have a rib eating contest.
A rib eating contest.
9 pounds is the goal.
Take a quick news break. Get a traffic report from Alan Cate, and then we will be right back on the other side of this break. You're listening to On the Menu Live on 104.1. Stick around. We'll be right back.
The Tucson Originals Restaurants is a dynamic group of independently owned, fine dining, casual, and neighborhood restaurants. Since 1999, Tucson Originals Restaurants have been working together to preserve and promote the unique culinary spirit of Tucson. This alliance has helped many of Tucson's signature restaurants thrive and become icons in the Tucson dining scene. Tucson Originals provides support to member restaurants to ensure locally owned restaurants continue to offer wonderful and diverse dining experiences right here in Tucson. Tucson Originals connects Tucsonans with the local food community in interesting and interactive ways, including fundraising for local charities and food demonstrations at local events. Check out their website at TucsonOriginals.com for the latest in local dining action and amazing dining deals throughout the year. And follow them on Facebook and Twitter at Tucson Originals. Whether you're a local restaurant owner or just love good food, check out Tucson Originals restaurants and be a part of something delicious. Hey, it's Matt Russell, and if your family is like mine, you gotta have a salad with your pizza, right? I mean, I think it's just as important as the wings and the beer. And when looking for standout salads to accompany our pizza pies, we look no further than Tino's. Family owned and operated for 32 years, Tino's Pizza just launched a new salad menu that features 8 fresh options, including new chicken Caesar, spinach, and caprese salads. And what fine companions they'll make for one of Tino's signature sandwiches, calzones, or pizzas, like the iconic Big Mo, a 20-inch pizza powerhouse that you have to see to believe. If you're looking for an honest and authentic neighborhood pizza joint, do what I've been doing for decades and ask yourself, isn't it time for Tino's? Tino's Pizza, open daily at 6610 East Tancaverde Road, just across the street from Trail Dust Town.
Hey, fellow foodies, you're listening to On the Menu Live on 104.1 KQTH, and we are broadcasting live deep in the heart of barbecue goodness at Brushfire Barbecue.
Oh!
North Campbell Avenue, just a bit south of Glen. We got $3 draft beers all summer long. We got a great rib sampler platter. If you can't make up your mind, we got baby backs, we got beef ribs, we got St. Louis style ribs, we got selfies with Alan Cate. We got all great things happening here.
We got Big Jared.
We got Jared Wren. We've got Bill Harmon, two guys that are responsible for the majesty that we are experiencing today. Welcome back, guys. Thanks again for hosting us today.
Hey, thanks for coming. We really appreciate it.
So, Jared, I got to take you back a decade, brother.
Man.
I mean, what? Okay, we're celebrating your 10th anniversary. And like
years.
We said earlier in the show, that's a big deal, dude. 10 years, a big deal. when I got here, there was a line to order. You know, people love the story here. But take us back to that day when you and Ben Ryan woke up one morning and said, you know what? I don't know what you were doing beforehand, but I'm done. I can't take it anymore. I'm going to go to the pit, and I'm going to bring barbecue to Tucson.
You know, it's kind of a funny story. Ben and I started off cooking in Tucson. We worked at Daniel's over here at River and Campbell way back in the day for Jeff
with
Cole.
With the great Mike Varish.
Mike Varish, right?
Oh, yeah. Taught me everything. What a great man, and I wouldn't be where I'm at if it wasn't for that man,
great
for sure.
Great testimony. Great.
So it was cool, and Ben has always wanted to open up a restaurant. Always. And, you know, we were line cooks and good friends, and he come up with these ideas. You know, let's do fine dining, let's do a chocolate shop, let's do a deli, let's do a butcher shop, and idea after idea after idea. And then one day he was like, hey Jared, what about barbecue? I'm thinking cold beer sitting on the porch with the smoker going, you know. I did
yeah, what about the barbecue?
So I'm like, okay, yeah, you put it in the smoker, you sit there, I can do that, sounds fun. Yeah, you know, there's not really good barbecue in Tucson, let's do the barbecue. And and we just started playing, and then one day we finally got the opportunity to actually put that dream into action, and we did, and it was honestly the scariest thing I've ever done in my life.
I'm sure.
But we have got a great response from the community, and I will never forget, we'd been open like maybe 6 months, and a customer came in and said, you know what, guys, Tucson is a better place because of you guys.
Oh,
and I will
man.
Never
oh,
forget
awesome.
That.
That's
and
that all is, you got to hear.
That's all you have to hear. That definitely makes it worthwhile, and I'll never forget that. And hey, now, 10 years later, I look in the mirror. I'm like, where do I look at pictures from when we first opened them? I'm like, who is that kid? Where'd all this gray come from?
You look a little wider and a little wiser.
Right?
Although
exactly.
I should say, that's awesome. Go to our Twitter page. If you're not following On the Menu Live on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, you should be. But I tweeted out a picture of Jared a few hours ago, and it's like the star shot of you with the cowboy hat and the, you know, the golf shirt and the jeans and the boots. And that's like, this guy's all about barbecue, man.
Right? Yeah, so, you know what? It's a lot of fun.
So how long into the story did you decide that one barbecue place on Campbell and Glen was not enough to meet the needs of people's cravings across Tucson?
You know what? About 3 years into it, we decided this is going to work, and then we started looking. And then at about our fifth year, we decided that we weren't hanging from a big enough noose and decided to open up another one. And I tell you what, it's been awesome. The 22nd location is great. It's a lot bigger. Parking's a lot easier, of course, over there. And so it's been a really good experience for us. We have a full bar over there, so it gave us more to expand our playing, you know, right, with liquor and stuff. And
you'll be doing valet parking here pretty soon,
exactly,
right?
Exactly, right?
So, of course, that's in the southwest corner of 22nd and Cold.
Correct.
For Brush Fire 2. But, Bill Harmon, I mean, you've been a barbecue fan your whole life, obviously, just like we have. I mean, talk to us a little bit about the philosophy here, because as Alan and I know, when it comes to barbecue, there is a great gulf that divides people's philosophies about what wood should do, what smoke should do, what sauce should do, what parts of the stories need to be represented by those. How would you define the philosophy of the craft here at Brush Fire?
Well, people come in all the time and ask us what style barbecue we are. Texas, right. Memphis, anything like that. We don't have a style. We're our own style. It's barbecue from Tucson. We use our local woods, our mesquites, our pecans. No one else uses that. Our philosophy is just to put out a fresh, homemade, from scratch product every day. All our sides, all our barbecue sauces. We make 6 different sauces. We get everybody. We try to hit everybody's palate, from sweet to spicy. From fish to ribs, beef, pork, anything you need.
The whole thing.
Yeah. You know, I got a question. Normally, barbecue season runs kind of from, on the rest of the country, from Memorial Day to Labor Day. You know, it's the summertime type deal. But usually that's not the busiest time in Tucson.
No.
I kind of remember that from my restaurant tour days, you know.
Right.
But how do you see it going? Like, is it during the season in the wintertime? When are you guys the busiest?
In Tucson, I think it's fair to say everyone's busiest in May and in October.
Yeah.
Just because those are the 2 months you can go outside and not die. So those are definitely our biggest months. You know, Tucson has a lot of events going on during those September, October, and
autumn with all the football games, football stuff like that.
So we get out a lot. We start doing a lot of events. You know, pretty much I will usually work October straight through, because we're doing weekend events every single weekend. And then same for May. But it doesn't really taper off in the summertime for us. You know,
that's great.
This location gets a little hit from the U of A. But, I mean, like you guys said, it is the summer season for barbecue. So we get that. People come in, and they don't want to stand out in 100-degree weather right. in front of their smokers and do it. So they come in
It is virtually impossible, Alan, to go to a food event in Southern Arizona and not see brush fire there.
You
and Ben never say no to anybody. I mean, you're always there feeding the masses. I remember turning on Channel 4 during the Nova Home Loans Arizona Bowl, and I saw Ben making brisket for the cheerleaders for both teams at like 5 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
You guys don't sleep.
Right? You got to get out there. We both grew up in Tucson, and we like to get out there and support and give back, and they're fun, and you got to get out there when you can, and why say no?
Right on.
There's always a way. Get it done.
Now, the other story, you also got the ice creamery thing
going,
right? So now how did you evolve? How did that happen?
You know what? We always kind of had that sitting on the back burner, and we had the – when we opened up the 22nd location, we had that extra space.
20 locations. 20 locations.
You see where my mind's going, right?
Ben is listening now, and he's already cut Jared off. He's like, it's his last beer.
So, yeah, we had that extra space. We were using it as meeting space. We really didn't know what we wanted to do with it. And then we decided, let's go ahead and do the ice cream. And it's been a lot of fun for us. We get to play. We get to make up the flavors every single day. We do it a gallon and a half at a time. And we produce a lot of ice cream at a gallon and a half at a time.
Now, do we have a barbecued flavor?
We do a candied pork belly ice cream.
Pork belly ice cream.
Of course you do. But that's not easy to do. I mean, you don't get much more craft small batch than doing ice cream 1 gallon at a time.
Yeah, we also have a liquor license over there as well, so we can do alcohol in the ice cream.
Which
yeah.
I'm sure you do on a regular basis.
Oh, yeah.
What's Bill Harmon's favorite flavor when it comes to playing around in the ice cream world? If I wanted to, channel my inner Bill Harmon and be Bill Harmon for a day, if I belly up to the ice cream bar, what am I ordering?
You're going over to the ice cream bar, you got to go with everybody's favorite, the Cookie Monster ice cream.
Cookie Monster.
We've won some People's Choice Awards with that from Ben's Bells here locally in town.
Oh, right on.
And it's definitely our most popular flavor that we go through, especially with the children.
Hey, I'm thinking for the holidays, pork belly rum raisin, man.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Now, you talked about pecan and mesquite. Now, again, this is another issue, Bill, that divides pitmasters and has divided them for generations because you have a whole canvas of woods. Cherry, hickory, oak, pecan, mesquite, apple. I mean, go on and on. What was the wisdom that contributed to your decision to use mesquite and pecan the way you guys do?
All right. Well, first off,
yummy.
We live in the desert, so a lot of those trees aren't growing out here. And trying to get the amount that we go through with that type of wood would be very expensive. So we stick with the local stuff. Everybody loves mesquite out here.
It's regional cuisine, Matt.
It
Bill
goes
already
with the flavor.
Told you.
Everybody likes it. You can't go wrong with it. We've competed with it a few times in BCS, and it's a different flavor. No one else uses it. Not very many people use it.
Now, you mentioned BCS. Why don't you explain to that?
Barbecue
that
Championship Series. It's competitions that go around. Actually, you guys were mentioning Mike from AZ Barbecue up in Phoenix going to your rib cook-off. We compete with him. We do a Freedom RV competition every February here down in on Irvington at the Freedom RV. We've traveled all over Arizona doing competitions before and won trophies for all of our meats and sauces and everything.
What would you say if you could only pick one item at Brush Fire Barbecue? What would be the one? What's your favorite? What's kind of
my favorite
that you put all the love into?
My favorite personally, besides the ribs, because you can't put ribs below anything, but our chicken wings, our chicken wings are killer. We have the best chicken wings.
And you do a smoked chicken wing?
We dry rub them, smoke them, fry them, and toss them whatever sauce you want. Caramelize it on there real nice. It's delicious.
Fully cooked, coming out of the smoker. Throw them in the fryer quickly just to get a little bit of a crisp on. Boy, that sounds gorgeous.
Yeah.
gorgeous. Okay, so what a great segue, speaking of gorgeous, because you guys have just landed delivered by a helicopter. Some of the biggest ribs I think I have ever seen.
Flintstone
here.
Ribs.
These are serious. I mean, these talk about righteous ribs, guys. Now, we're going to do a little tasting here, but I see there's a little method to your madness here. You've actually brought out a rib sampler that actually has been sauced, and you brought out a rib sampler that is just with the dry rub, not sauce. Can customers come in and order them either way?
Absolutely.
They certainly can. We traditionally, when you order, we're going to put it on the sauce on the meat unless you say otherwise. And that's kind of bass-ackwards from the way most barbecue places do that. And Ben and I, being from Tucson and not growing up in a barbecue community, we didn't have to follow the same traditions that everyone else is instilled from growing up. And, man, we like having the barbecue sauce cooked on the meat.
Caramelized.
It caramelizes.
Delicious.
You know, when you're just pouring it on at the table.
It's cold.
The sauce is cold, and the sauce doesn't cook. That vinegar doesn't get a chance to thicken and sweeten. And
it also helps enhance that smoke ring, too.
It really
does. If you're
does.
Brushing it, because it's all about the moisture.
That's
you got to
exactly
have the moisture
right.
on there, and you don't want to have a dried-out rib.
And you can layer your sauce. You know, you brush some on, let it caramelize. Brush a little bit more on, let it caramelize. And it just gets thicker and thicker and stickier. And
Jared, I love it when you layer. I love it when you layer.
It's interesting, though, like in the competition, a lot of times the ribs will get presented without the sauce on it, because if you rub it and then you smoke it perfectly,
you don't need it.
Exactly.
And that's a trick. You have to decide what your end product is going to be, because you are going to start the process differently if you're going to add sauce at the end. You are. You know, your rubs, if you're looking for something spicy, you're not going to do a spicy rub and a spicy sauce, because the end product is going to be way too much.
Right.
So really, you have to plan it from the beginning of what your end product is going to be.
Now, I'm looking at this chart, and I was fascinated when I saw this, and it's on your website. I mean, there's you probably are keeping some secrets behind, but you're actually right out there for the world to see. You go protein by protein on your website. You talk the menu item. You disclose the rub that you used, and then you disclose how many hours it sits in the smoker.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. So these ribs are brushed with the brush fire pork and rib rub, smoked for 5 hours. Beautiful.
Sounds like a deposition. Too much information. They're all good.
All right, they're all good. Going all the way up to the brisket, 18 hours in the hot box, guys.
Yeah, yeah.
17 is not good enough for you guys.
No. Low and slow, baby.
All right, let's eat. So where would you suggest we start? You want us to start dry and move
our
way
to
west?
I would start dry and then move your way up.
Alan, where should we go? Let's do
excellent.
This.
Excellent. Let me get a knife. I'm going to cut them up here.
All right.
Are these the St. Louis here?
Those are the babies, actually.
Oh, those are the babies.
Yeah.
Right on.
All right.
We also gave you a special jalapeno cheese cornbread today.
Jalapeno Ooh. Cheese cornbread. Okay, beautiful. Mm-hmm. Some gorgeous sides, too. I see some beans, mac and cheese, coleslaw. What do we got over here?
Deviled egg potato salad.
Deviled egg potato salad. All right, I'm going in on this baby. And again, the first thing we look for is that smoke ring. There it is, working its way so beautifully around the top, almost like a little pipeline of love. We take this rib, Alan.
Let's go, baby.
Let's do it.
You have to take over now, Jared.
Oh, my goodness. Yep. So, yeah, they're there.
Start talking.
Biting into it. Alan's looking very pleased. That's why they're not talking. You know, one of my favorite things about being a chef is, and Mike Forrest taught me this. He said, you know, the greatest satisfaction you'll ever get is doing a buffet for 50, 60 people, having a dining room full of people talking, everything's loud, and as soon as the plate hits the table, all you hear is ting, ting. Ting, ting.
Everything gets
quiet. That's when the chef knows he did a great job, because no one wants to talk. They just want to eat. And I like seeing you guys do that now.
And you know what I like about these ribs? You can see a bite mark because, as Paul Harvey said, we forgot to dial that up this year. What did he say about Alan Zeman talking about your
For a rib to be really good, the meat should fall off the bone when you eat it. But not
when you pick it up.
When you pick it up.
Right. So a perfectly smoked rib, you got to have a little bit of a tug. There
you
has to be a little resistance. Mm-hmm. When the bone pulls out, there are some people that like that. I get it. I don't.
Right.
Then they get grainy and they're not as tasty.
Yeah, they get mealy, yep.
And that's what we talk about when we judge them. We give it kind of an appearance, taste and texture. You know, all those things are what's important.
Right, and texture has a lot to do with the flavor.
Yeah.
Right.
So we tried the baby back with the dry rub. We're going to try the baby back sauced up. Now, Bill, what kind of sauce did you glisten these with?
I'm sure they use our award-winning sweet molasses barbecue sauce.
Award-winning sweet molasses. All right, grab this.
Oh, right on.
And we're going to go in. And, again, the sauce starts with the process. It's not thrown on at the end.
Layer after
layer, as Jared Wren says. All right, I'm going in.
I think you got to go to a break pretty soon, so we get another $3 pint.
So yeah, they're delicious. Those look delicious. Oh my goodness!
Beautiful.
See, this is I like this better. I like it sauce.
With the sauce, because
there's more flavor. All that flavor kind of absorbs.
It's a richer story. Now, are you throwing these on a grill at all?
We do. So after they come out of the smoker,
yes.
When you order them, we're going to pop them on the grill. And that's where the putting the sauce on it comes in. So we put them on the grill. So not to cook the ribs, not to heat the ribs up or get them hot. They're hot. They're ready to go. They're fresh. What we're doing is we're just caramelizing that barbecue.
And you get a little bit of that char. Again, bringing some new texture to the rib, too. That beautiful tender inside, but you get that little char, that crisp from the outside. Mm-hmm. Just like with the wings, they come out of the smoker fully cooked. But you want to just go one more round to bring that crust into
That's
the story.
Right.
These ribs are beautiful, guys. Time has come to see if one of our listeners wants to have a shot at getting a Brush Fire gift card. So many cool questions that we can ask our listeners. Jared, what would be something fun to ask our listeners today?
Well, we'd like to ask our listeners today how many pounds of meat they think we smoke on a yearly basis.
Per year.
Per year? Per year.
Okay.
Wow. I wonder if it's more than at the Rip Cook-Off.
Okay, so meat. So that's every, all
that's
the protein.
That's everything. I'm
so
talking
that's
about
chicken.
Ribs, chicken, pork, brisket, turkey, salmon, all of it.
So it's got to be within 8 ounces or whatever.
And don't forget, we're Tucson's number one caterer, so.
That's right. A little bit of a tease there. Okay, how many pounds of meat does Brush Fire smoke every single year? If you think you know the answer, shoot me a note right now. On the menu live at gmail.com. On the menu live at gmail.com. First one person in with the right answer is going to get a Brush Fire gift card. We're going to take another quick commercial break. Thanks to more of our sponsors. When we come out, we're going to round out the show, do a little bit more eating, talk a little bit more about ice cream, and talking about some reflections of Jared's over the last 10 years in business. You're listening to On the Menu Live.
Brush Fire!
Stick around. We'll be right back.
Saguaro Corners Restaurant and Bar has been serving Tucson's East Side and Saguaro National Park since 1956. But this is not your grandfather's Saguaro Corners. They have 22 craft beers on tap, handcrafted cocktails, and some of the best margaritas you will find in Tucson. Their menu has something for everyone with more than 60 different choices, from great barbecue to creative burgers and sandwiches to a mouth-watering selection of Arizona comfort food. They feature live music 4 nights a week on their cool patio with misters and incredible Rincon Mountain views. Open 7 days a week for lunch and dinner and brunch on Saturday and Sunday. Come on down and give Saguaro Corners a try on the corner of South Old Spanish Trail and Escalante. It's worth the trip.
And welcome back to On the Menu Live. It is Matt Russell and Alan Zeman broadcasting live from Brush Fire Barbecue Company on North Campbell, just south of Glen. Again, we've got $3 craft beers all
set. Oh, look at that.
We're doing a barbecue medley. We've got all kinds of deliciousness here. We've got beef ribs. We've got St. Louis style. We've got baby backs, all kinds of great sizes. Wherever your palate will take you, come on over here to Brush Fire. We've got a few minutes left before the show is over. I want to repeat our trivia question. How many pounds of meat does Brush Fire smoke on an annual basis? And as Bill Harmon said, not only for the restaurants, but also for their community events. We're talking a pretty big number, guys. On the menu live at gmail.com. So for any of our listeners that might not know the difference between a baby back rib and a St. Louis or a spare rib, talk to us a little bit about how would you compare and contrast those two kind of different kinds of ribs.
All right, so the spare rib is basically a St. Louis, but it still has that bottom little chunk of, they call it the chain on the bottom. So
right.
The spare rib, they cut that off, so it squares it up a little bit. They're a little bit longer, taller in the bone, with not as thick of meat on them.
Mm-hmm.
And then the baby backs are a little bit shorter, a little bit thicker, a little bit more marbleization on the babies. And it's really a personal preference. I like the spare ribs better because they're bigger.
And those are competition. I mean, at these competitions, you have to cook spare. You won't find a baby back rib at an official barbecue competition. I love the spares, too, because the spares, I think, they're a little closer to the belly, right?
Yeah.
Of the
pig. Right,
yeah. They're a little more
bacon,
fat
bacon ribs.
In there. I mean, I heard Ben Ryan once talk about the baby backs are sort of the more luxurious kind of rib. The spares are where the fat is. That's where flavor. And wherever your palate's going to take you, you're going to find a rib here for everybody.
That's right.
But that St. Louis cut maybe makes it more kind of the fillet of rib.
Right. Where it squares it off.
Yeah, it's all there for you.
So 10 years, a lot of new restaurants opening. I mean, there was another restaurant that just opened last week. I think 3 restaurants opened last week. I mean, if you were to have some advice, knowing what you know now, Jared Wren, if someone were to walk into your home and say, look, I'm thinking about opening a restaurant. I think I got a great idea. What advice would you have for them?
My advice would be just to put your heart and soul into your food and don't compromise. The busier you get, don't compromise your quality or your technique. to keep up with the demand. There's a way. There's always a way to do it right, and don't get complacent, and never stop learning. Because 10 years, one of my great mentors always told me, you know, to getting at the top is it's hard to get at the top, but it's even harder to stay at the top.
Yeah, right. Yep.
You know, once you're there, yeah, everyone's trying to beat you. So to stay at the top, it's challenging, and you have to treat every day like it's your first day.
And what is one thing that you know now that you did not know 10 years ago about the restaurant business? What's the one thing that you wish you knew 10 years ago that you know now?
You know what? Honestly, I'd have to say, personally, I wish I knew what I was doing when I started.
I acknowledge your honesty. I absolutely love it.
You know, I was a cook. I was a line cook.
Right.
And I graduated high school. I didn't go to college. I was a line cook. And so the whole business aspect was I make it up as I go.
Yeah, right on.
Advertising, we make it up as we go. Everything that Ben and I do, we are making up as we go.
Well, and you know what? Don't stop doing it because it works.
Exactly.
It has worked for you for 10 years.
Exactly. But, you know, if you're going to start a restaurant, you have to, the main thing is to get your name out there.
Yeah.
And keep reminding people that you're there. You have to keep, that's why we do so many events. That's why we're always out there, because people forget.
Yeah. That's the
There's
key.
So many other
you
restaurants
gotta
popping
be in front
up.
Of them. Yep.
You have to keep putting yourself out in front of them. You'll see us on buses. You'll see us on bus stop signs. We try to just constantly remind you guys that, hey, we're here. Don't forget about
great.
Us. You know.
So, Bill, you know, we talk a lot of talk about ribs on this show, but you really do. I mean, it is a showcase to the craft of barbecue here at Brushfire. Talk a little bit about some of the other things outside of the rib spectrum that you can find here at Brushfire.
Oh, brisket. Slow-smoked brisket, sliced, tender, fall-apart beef. We have pulled pork that just falls apart. We caramelize the sauce on that, put it on a sandwich for you. Put any toppings you want on it. You can get mac and cheese on your sandwich here, French fries. You can make it as
pork
exotic
belly.
As you want. We have messy fries, which is one of our most
popular. That sounds like
items.
A big bill, man. The back, the pulled pork with mac and cheese.
The messy fries.
Messy mac and cheese.
Messy mac.
The college kids love coming here for their munchies. You know, mm-hmm. we have everything covered. If you want just a nice, simple, healthy dinner, you can get a salmon with a salad. We have a
I bet that's a big seller.
You'd be surprised.
Yeah. When you put bacon into your salad dressing.
So my friend Brian Thacker, who's sitting over there, he's with Dan's Toy Shop. He's one of the best auto mechanics in the country. He actually loves your sausages, your links here.
Oh, yeah.
He says they're world class. I've never had them here before, so my next trip in, I'm going to have them in. What is it about these links that you think has someone like Brian Thacker, who has a very sophisticated palate when it comes to barbecue, why does he love those links so much, do you
it's
think?
All about the it's all about the different types of stuff we do to it. So we're going to smoke it. We're going to smoke it in the smoker. Then
with
we're going
to
take it.
With that mesquite and pecan. And it's a balance. Because that pecan cuts down the mesquite. The mesquite cuts down the nutty of the pecan, and you got to find that balance.
Yeah. Then really we're going to cut that in half and grill it on the grill. You're going to get those flavors from the grill, caramelize the sauce on there. It just gets crispy and delicious, and it's a very popular item. Especially you put a little couple links with the brisket on the sandwich, you've got one of the best sandwiches in town, right?
You
there.
Put the links with the brisket on the same sandwich.
Yeah, combo sandwich. Ooh, mix and match.
Now, Matt, when you try that at home, you got to caramelize the sauce, not burn it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm duly noted. I'm taking this down.
It has to be slowly seared.
What about your hours of operation? When are you guys open for business? And
we are open 7 days a week. 11 to 9, except for Fridays and Saturdays, we close at 10. And once football season starts, our 22nd location will start opening on Sundays when the football games start, which I think is 10.
Yeah? Okay. And what about the website? How can people find you online?
www.brushfirebbq.com. And you'll find everything you need to know about us there, from catering to everything.
How much notice do you need for catering? I mean, it depends on the size of the party, I guess.
It really does depend on the size of the party. If you're doing 100 people, as long as you give us 3 or 4 hours, we'll get you that day. We prefer 72 to 48 hours, so please don't everyone hit us at last minute.
Bill had a troubled look on his face.
We're the last minute guys. Everybody calls us scared every day.
We do. I actually had a guy call me up and say, hey, you know, can I get an order? I said, yeah, sure, when do you want? He said 10:30, and it was 11 o'clock.
Jared,
I said, I'll do my best.
Bill Harmon, Alan Zeman, thank you guys so much for hanging out with us in this live broadcast from Brushfire. Check them out online. Come in and have some righteous barbecue. If you missed any part of this show whatsoever, the entire show is going to be up on our website onthemenulive.com early next week. In the meantime, it's Matt Russell and Alan Zeman. Remind you all, If it's Saturday at 5, it is On the Menu Live. Cheers, fellow foodies. We'll see you at Brushfire.